finally, once in a lifetime, a sure bet. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, the Federal Reserve will let us know what it's doing about short-term interest rates. If they go up, it'll be the first time in a year and only the second time in a decade. Let's go right to Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. She joins me now here in the New York Bureau. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you think, like 95% chance that interest rates go up in a bit?
Keep going.
98%?
You might be a little bit low.
All right. This is one of those, I guess, a foregone conclusion, she says. So what then will you be watching when the chair of the Fed makes her statement?
Well, there is almost 100% probability. The expectation is it couldn't be higher that rates will go up. And what is really of interest right now is her language. So again, she's going to come out, talk about the rates, and then there's always a statement in December. So in a statement, we're concerned about what her language will be. Is there some intimation that interest rates might increase more quickly than expected? So now it's back to the pace of interest rate increases, and the market is going to fixate on that.
Well, let's say there are some statements that suggest that maybe interest rates are going up faster than we thought. Driven by what? The new administration coming in or something else?
Well, the new administration coming in has impacted the entire curve. So interest rates have spiked. The long end of the curve, that 10-year, has really gone up since President-elect Trump has come into play. And so with that, there's now expectation that interest rates are going to go up. I don't think the market will panic if language is becoming more hawkish and we see that the pace might increase. But people are expecting that. Infrastructure spend leads to potential for inflation. That's what you're seeing reflected in those interest rates.
And I can't help but notice the headlines here this morning. There is some new data today. Consumer spending in America went up, but hardly at all, a tenth of 1%.
Hardly at all. That's a little disappointing. So the street was hoping that would be 0.3%, and now it's 0.1%. We were really hoping to see that the consumer was concerned about the election, backed off from spending, just kind of waited it out. This would be the first data point post-election to capture some of that activity. And we're not seeing great, robust activity. So hopefully there's still time. There are more shopping days left. The consumer will get out there and do a little bit more. We'd like to see that a little healthier number.
Because that's exactly how it works. They're going to see a bulletin on Reuters about consumer spending, and we're going to go out and spend more. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas, always good to see you.
Thank you.
For more context on the Fed's decision today, consult our homepage. You'll find links to stories that we hope supply some useful context or maybe that teachers and professors might use for those hungry minds they have to serve. For instance, it's not like the cost of borrowing in America is going through the roof.
Higher interest rates are like a brake on the economy. If our economy is a car, it's just not speeding along, so it doesn't need much braking.
That's our man, Sabri Benishour, there. Note the handy Mentioned on Air tab at marketplace.org that'll get you to that piece. Now to opposing themes in American politics. There's the incoming president who has talked about banning immigrants from Muslim countries and building a wall along the border with Mexico. Then there are many U.S. cities that have policies to nurture immigrants. One of those cities is in the red state of Ohio. It's Dayton. The program there is called Welcome Dayton. Its aim is to revitalize the local economy, but the mood now in Dayton is complicated. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace reports.
Dayton has wide, quiet streets. It's a city built for a lot more people than live here now. But in 2015, for the first time in decades, Dayton saw its population increase, driven by immigrants. A working-class neighborhood called East Dayton is one of the places that's seen an influx, and I'm sitting on the couch in a comfortable house here with Nube, not her full name. She came to the U.S. from Ecuador with no papers about 20 years ago, risking her life to cross the border alone. And she says she was lucky she survived.
Many people, when one come to here and live the American dream, they die.
Now she has three U.S.-born daughters, and she works for $9 an hour sewing uniforms.
Just working.
Nube would have been protected from deportation by President Barack Obama's executive order, the one known as DAPA, Deferred Action for Parents of American Citizens. But that's been held up in the courts, and Donald Trump says it's high on his list to repeal it. Nube's scared of being separated from her daughters. One of them just started college in Dayton.
They are my life. So what will happen to us? We don't know. We are in the limbo.
Trump says he will withdraw federal funding from cities that shelter undocumented immigrants like Nubé. Here he is during a campaign speech in Phoenix.
We will end the sanctuary cities that have resulted in so many needless deaths.
Dayton doesn't actually call itself a sanctuary city or explicitly refuse to work with federal immigration authorities. The definition of sanctuary city is blurry, but the police department doesn't gather info on immigration status. Here's Mayor Nan Whaley.
Now, I don't care who the president is. Dayton is an open and inclusive community no matter what.
Trump hasn't been clear on how he would define sanctuary city, although he says his first targets for deportation will be people who've committed crimes. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
And money in politics may not always buy desired short-term outcomes. The aircraft company Boeing had pledged $1 million to Trump inauguration events, the same amount the company gave to President Obama in 2013 for that inauguration. The pledge was made before Mr. Trump called for the U.S. to cancel its Air Force One contract with Boeing, saying it was overpriced. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.